Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 through 16, and the Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from 1 Timothy the 6th chapter. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time, he who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
How do you manipulate a man? You appeal to his appetites and to his fears. Leave a perverse incentive behind, and you will foster corruption. St. Paul warned Timothy just before our scriptures, those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. There are even those who imagine that godliness is a means of gain. No wonder, then, that where there are riches in the church, from the personal property of her ministers, all the way up to the collective property of the church's earthly rulers, you also then find in those places puffed up conceit, unhealthy craving for controversy, quarrels about words, envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, constant friction. That's what Paul says. And that's the other side of manipulation and capture, fear. Fear, in my observation, is the much stronger power over us. The appetite of the flesh leads a man into greed and thievery and every wicked or careless approach to taste that for which they hunger. But then, having it in their teeth, then standing there with their pants around their ankles, or then finding that the two-edged sword of slander can cut both ways. Now a man is confronted by his conscience. The conscience of such a man, maybe men in particular, but also every person, is consumed by this fear. What has been gained could be lost. What was gained through wickedness could be found out and discovered. Hanlon's razor says, never ascribe to malice what could be explained by incompetence. But I think almost all wickedness could be also ascribed to a man's desperation to CYA. And I want you to remember the occasion that inspired our father Adam's creative use of fig leaves. Now, as for you, O man of God, flee those things. How does the apostle lead and inspire and call out to not just any man, not the wicked man, but the man of God? How can you manipulate? That's not the right word. How can you bring along a Christian? Well, Paul also addresses our appetites and our fears, in a sense. But see how different these desires and this fear is when the Holy Spirit is at work in us, waging war against the old and easily manipulated man taking away the fig leaves, replacing them with the bloody and absolving garments of God's holy Lamb. Paul writes, I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things. The fear of God marginalizes all those other fears that lead wicked men's hearts astray. Fear God and give Him glory. His judgment is weighty. And that means the opinions of men, whether they are true ones or false ones, they become a light matter. Because He gives life to all things. He gives food for my mouth. He gives covering for my body. He gives me a justification that no one, not even on the internet, could undercut. He is the one heart's desire that does not disappoint in this life. Paul speaks in a similar way when he warns the Thessalonians and us not to brush aside his apostolic teachings and his vice lists as if we would only be rejecting Paul if we did that, rather than rejecting God Himself, the very God, he says, who gives us His Spirit. He's saying that you give up Christianity if you paper over your sins. He says you would give up breath. You would give up life itself. And we know that these words today, on the anniversary and commemoration of St. Timothy, they fall heavy on the shoulders of pastors specifically. They're the ones who have the charge to preach in season and out of season, like Paul, who is the mentor, and Timothy, who is the example of growth to all of us. But these words are also rightly applied to every Christian, to all Christians, because by virtue of baptism, we are called to be confessors. We are called to be disciples, and that is those who more and more keep everything that Jesus has commanded us. Not all of us keep it as those who watch over souls, those who must contend with men and call them to repentance because of our office. But all of us keep it as those who say amen to our shepherd's gracious promises. So I do charge you then in the presence of Christ Jesus, the Lord that you know and the Lord that you love and admire and desire, the one who says, fear not to you, who says, take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. I charge you to call to remembrance his good confession before Pontius Pilate, the place when he bore witness to the truth, and he said of you, all who are of the truth, listen to my voice. You remember what a small and manipulated and fear-consumed man he was talking to in Pontius Pilate there, how he proved to be a fateful weak. What a mockery of justice Pontius Pilate made. What sort of assessment even Caesar, after the fact, made of his rule in the end. Do not be like this. And I also hold out to you this hope, the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, the true man of God. Because he will display at the proper time, if not even sooner, the truth of his ways in all things. The blessed inheritance that he has laid up for you by his blood. And he will show that godliness with contentment is greater gain than all of the wealth and the prestige and the pomp that no man can keep in this world, and certainly no man could ever take out of this world. Dear Christian friends, do not be so easily manipulated by sin and by the flesh. Look around at all the misery that comes from it, the disaster. And do what Paul says, flee from it. Flee in faith to Christ. See the misery that comes of it and run to the one who suffered misery for you. Flee to the one who with his Father and the Spirit gives life. He has declared you righteous, so pursue godliness. He's given you this faith, so respond in love. He's placed you into his steadfast care, and he has valued you with his own blood, so that all violence, all greed may give way to gentleness and stability in his peace, which this world cannot give. This is how the confessors of old, like St. Timothy, took their stand as men of God. And God calls you also to join their ranks. Remember that, as always, he has you covered. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.